All right. We're going to continue here in our post-race celebrations with the winners of the STP 500. And we've been joined by our winning crew chief, Booga Ravitz, and hopefully I said that correctly. And if not, you can definitely correct us. And then also the vice president of competition for Stuart Haas Racing with Greg Zipadelli. And Booga, I'll start with you first. Talk a little bit about those final laps. Obviously, it's been a long winless streak for Clint. I know how hard you guys have wanted to win, but just talk about those final few laps and really what it meant to end up in victory lane today here at Martinsville.
Yeah, in my tenure so far in this sport, I've learned that don't expect anything in the last few laps. It could come down to the last one. You could have led all the laps all day long, and it may not work out for you in the end. So, you know, we just stayed focused, kept digging till the end of the race, and, you know, for him to have that winless streak of 190 races, I'm so happy for him to finally get another one, get a picture with his son. I know he's been wanting that for a long, long time, and I really liked it for this team. You know, it's not always seen because we're not always up there leading all the laps and every race, but these guys work just as hard as any other team out there. We're really tight-knit group and well-deserving for this whole team and this whole company who's really dug hard all winter long.
And, Greg, for you, obviously Clint stepped into the 14 after Tony retired. Talk a little bit about just that transition, but obviously the importance of getting that car back to victory lane. And as Booga said, you guys have had a strong start to the season and really what it means today to know that the 14 has returned to victory lane.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I mean, who doesn't love Clint? You know what I mean? He's just a great guy. He was a great addition to Stuart Haas. But like Booga said, for these guys, you know, they've been through a lot of ups and downs in the past few years. So, you know, first and foremost, congratulations. That's really cool to see the 14 car back in victory lane, especially at a place like this. I mean, if you're a racer, it doesn't get much better than this place. It's just a really cool racetrack. Got a lot of history, a lot of fun racing here. I was fortunate enough to race modifieds and push cars here, you know, back in those days. So been a really cool place. Love coming here. But for an organization, it's been a solid year. You know, they everybody's worked really hard in the off season, like every other team. But you know, last year we were trying to figure out how to put motors in cars to make it to the racetrack, and that's not a lie. I mean, it was that bad when we switched over to Ford. There was a lot of things that that were a lot harder than we thought they were. So this year, as a group, they've been able to work together. And they've been able to work on a lot of little details. And I think it's shown in the performance to start the year, you know. But we got a long year. So we got to continue to work, continue to stay focused. We can't take a deep breath or get passed in this sport.
All right. We're going to take questions. If you have one, please raise your hand, state your name and affiliation. And we'll start up front here with Jim and then work our way around the room.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. For Greg, Clint has mentioned it before, but a lot today, of course, after the win, about the pressure of wanting to win and perform. I just wondered if you could talk a little bit about what you've noticed. I know it's one thing to be at a top organization and have pressure, but also the particular car that he was in and the driver he was replacing. I just wondered how you viewed that while he's been there.
Yeah, big shoes to fill. We all know that, you know, in many ways. You know, I see Clint, I see him a lot more focused, dedicated, and harder working this year, honestly. This whole group is, in all honesty. They, you know, they had a year last year. They had speed at a lot of racetracks and just couldn't, you know, close a deal, put it all together. Mike's done a great job of learning and growing as a leader and pulling these guys together. Including Clint, and you know, you can see it. You can see it in their performance, but you can see it, you know, with these guys just every day in the shop, in our meetings, and things of that nature. So, you know, proud of them. Sometimes it takes a little bit of time to work together and learn to believe in each other. And I think what you saw today was an example of that. But if you look at the performance from Daytona to today, has been significantly better.
All right. Where's my microphones? Go ahead. Do we have one over there? Yeah, go ahead.
Kayla Whistler kicking the tires. Greg, It seems like four wins, constant improvement across the board, across all teams, with all the changes you guys have made over the offseason. What has made this group of guys and this pairing with crew chiefs click for this organization?
I think just honestly some time. You know, we had some growing pains last year. And I think maybe not having the success that we expected or wanted or feel that this group is capable of, everybody worked a little harder this year. Everybody dug down. Everybody is working better together as a group. I feel like our whole entire company is doing better. Like I said, we took a lot on last year, from chassis shop to rear end housings to all the components, all the things that we didn't do in the past. So there was a lot of moving parts. I would honestly say that the crew chiefs and our teams might have been handicapped at a few times last year, because we couldn't get stuff done in the order that we needed to as an organization. So they were patient. They worked hard. They kept focused, and they believed in the group and the people behind them, and we're reaping the benefits of that today. But like I said, man, it's a long season.
All right, Dustin, go ahead.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. Greg, understand what you've talked about and just what you guys had to do the last year. I think if you look back even a little further, a number of years it was kind of viewed as, even you had three or four cars or whatever, it was one car having that success. And that's kind of always the, you know, even at Hendrick Motorsports, they always had trouble with getting the third or fourth car to have that success. You have a second car win today. How is that, you know, where do you feel like you are in kind of bridging the gap maybe between the four and the other three cars, and how significant has that been, I guess, I don't know if concern is the right word, is that there's just been one of the dominant cars and the other three haven't been as consistent, I should say.
I mean, it's huge for an organization, and you know, I've been proud of the wins and the success we have, but I've been more proud of the performance of all four cars so far this year. When you look at them from a qualifying perspective, when you look at from a finishing perspective, when you look at from where they are as a group in points, you know, that's how, you know, I'll say I judge myself and the rest of us people at Stewart Haas is we've got to figure out a way to give all four of our teams the best stuff we can. We've got to figure out how to continue to get our guys to work together and continue to make our stuff better, to where, you know, Mike shows up at the racetrack and he has speed and, you know, he can do his job. There's been weekends where they've shown up and we just simply, our cars didn't have the speed that they needed to. And it doesn't matter. He can't make it better at that point. You know, we have to do our work back at the shop in order for these guys to come here and perform like they do.
What are things that you can do more of that helps get that speed in the shop?
Well, I mean, obviously, you know, from the aero perspective, we've got a very strong group. They work hard. They're very dedicated to building great race cars. It's the same thing everybody works on, right? You work on aero, you work on horsepower, and you work on pit crews. And that's something that you know, Mike has been plagued with a little bit this year. And I'll honestly, let's be honest, they haven't done a great job. With the switchover, some of our guys have. Mike's guys have struggled, but they stepped up today. I'm really, really proud of them after meeting with them, talking to them last week, and the frustrations flying home from California when they had a top five car, maybe better than that if we could have gotten him out in the pits and he could have raced them head to head. But when it counted, they did an awesome job today, and I mean, those are the things that give me goosebumps, is when people have the opportunity and they step up and they grab it. That's pretty cool.
Go ahead.
Mark Carroll, PRN, for Mike. What's it feel like to, you know what it means to Clint to get the win? It also means a lot to you. It means a lot to the teams. How do you balance your emotions about who you're the happiest for after a win like this? And as a follow-up, do you think this kind of opens up the floodgates for you guys? You finally have the monkey off your back, and is this going to lead to some pretty big things for you this season?
Yeah, that's a pretty easy one for me to answer. I'm always most happy for all the guys and Clint, you know, driving our car, and all the people back at SHR. In all honesty, I don't really even think about myself in the equation. I know it takes a lot more than you know, one or two people to make this happen. It takes everybody, every single person that touches a car or a part or anything on this thing. So it's a team win. It's a company win. Is the best way to describe it, in my opinion. Everybody's worked so hard, so I'm most proud for them. And then what was the second part of your question? I think so, in the sense of, you know, you always get a little bit of, like, weight off your shoulders because it kind of punches your ticket to the chase in most cases. It kind of seals that deal for you. I think, though, the biggest thing that comes from it is confidence. The team gains confidence. The driver gains confidence. I think that's what will excel us the most at this point. It does open maybe some opportunities in the future to races that maybe you wouldn't gamble on a fuel mileage race. Now you might, to get another win. That's always there. But like Greg said, I mean, you can't sit back on your heels. You can't say, oh, we got to win. We're good. You know, move on. Mm-mm, ain't going to happen. You're going to struggle that first round of the chase if you sit back on your heels. But I believe in this company. I love working here. It's the best place I've ever worked. And, you know, these people are going to keep digging hard.
All right. We're going to go back to Mike in the back and then back up front to Bob. Go ahead.
All the way back here in the back. Greg and Mike, congratulations on the win. This is kind of a two-pronged question to both of you. Zippy, you're half a lap away from being 5 for 6, so that's got to feel pretty good. Can you talk about what it meant to put Tony Gibson into that production chief role and get consistency into the cars? And for you, Mike, what does it mean to you to have consistent cars coming to you that you just get to fine-tune for Clint?
Yeah, I mean, it. You know, Tony's got a lot of experience, been in the sport a long time. I mean, we're still doing the same things. We added somebody else in that group, I think, to help the crew chiefs, to help myself, in all honesty. You know, there was a big gap, and he loves it. He's a racer, so he's back there digging, just simply helping. We're focused on the quality of our race cars. Every single one of them needed to be better than what they were last year. And by adding some people, splitting some roles up, it allowed people to pay attention to little details. You know, it's he's been a great addition, but what he has done is he's allowed other people to do a better job at what they needed to do, because he took a little bit of load off of a lot of people. So, you know, I think everybody's really stepped up this year and done a great job.
All right, Bob, go ahead.
Bob Pockers, yes.
I think he had a second part for me.
Go ahead.
Yeah, and to kind of compliment what he said, I think two things come to mind in general is one, the load that he's taken off of me, a lot of little things that I had to worry about and spend half my week that I am in the shop wondering if it's right, if it's the way I want it to be, this and that. Is handled, it's taken care of. So that lets me focus on other areas to prepare for the race. The other side of it, as Greg touched on earlier, is when you show up to the track and you're closer on speed, you're more in the ballpark, you're already top 5, top 10 speed-wise, you kind of can relax a little bit in the sense of now, okay, we can just focus on how do we make this comfortable for the driver to race, where at times, even last year, I felt like you're trying to fix balance issues, but you're also trying to find speed. Well, a lot of times they don't go hand in hand. A lot of times what you're doing to make speed out of the car doesn't necessarily make it drive better. So you're trying to find that balance, and you get yourself stuck in the middle. And then when you're trying to race in traffic or all these other things, it just becomes that much more difficult on the driver. So those two big things come to mind.
All right, Bob, go ahead.
Bob Hocker, CSPN. For Mike, was it a big adjustment to start working with Clint? And last year, you know, you have 3 runner-up finishes. Are you ever thinking, what you got to do to break through?
Well, I mean, we all know in this sport that you got to cherish every win, you know, and every good finish, because you never know when the next one's going to be there. I mean, it's tight. Every week you look at qualifying and how close it is, and small adjustments have a large impact on the results in the race. So it comes down to details. And you know, I can't say I wondered when, but, you know, I wanted us to break through. I wanted it for the team, for the company. You know, like Greg said before, his team's been through a lot over 3 years. Getting Tony his last win was great, was a big step. Was great for Tony, was great for the team. But then you know, you always want at least one every year, right? And last year we didn't have one and struggled for a little bit and had moments of greatness and moments of struggles. And like you said, at times it was hard to put a race together. But, you know, already this year out of the box, it was very consistent. The team's gelling well, me and Clint gelling well. And we're very fortunate here that already in the sixth race we got a win.
All right. Kimbry, go ahead.
Mike Kimbry, USA Today. Mike, you can't really talk about Clint not being self-confident. He's probably the most confident guy in the garage. But during this long winless streak, did he kind of beat himself up some? Did you have to work on that at all, or was that not a factor?
Well, I think the biggest thing we just worked on was our relationship together. You know, I think even myself at times I would question myself, am I doing the right things? Am I doing the right things to help him? Am I making the right calls? Am I doing the right things to the cars? I mean, you're always going to do that until you – prove yourself out again, and you're always running good and got the chance to compete for wins. And you know, like I said, last year there was some weeks that, man, we really felt that way. We had some really good days going, and other times, you know, not so much, and we're wondering, are we doing things wrong, or what's going on? But this year, you know, coming out of the box, it's all changed. It's all been fast, it's all been confidence and us working together, and just literally like talking a lot and just really talking about how we're going to be better and what we need to do and being a bigger team.
Hey, the stovepipes are no joke. They made me chug one up there with the fans, but time you do that, it's about a six-pack. How about that?
Woo! Clan, if you... don't mind to grab that microphone.
I don't need a damn mic.
And give us your thoughts on returning to Victory Lane, especially here in Martinsville.
I'll be damned. Man, I'm telling you, just everything. Thinking back over the years, and this is the place. I mean, clear back to 2012. Like, I'd sucked here. And 2012, Ryan Patty came up with a short track car, and things started to get better. We got close so many times. I made a mistake and wrecked some, that Jeff Gordon guy and Jimmy Johnson, whoever the hell that is, and really, really screwed up and pissed a lot of people off. And to be able to learn from all those mistakes and then get the opportunity to be at Stuart Haas Racing, to line up next to my old teammate, Kevin Harvick, a champion of the sport, Kurt Busch, a champion of the sport, the welcomed edition of Eric Amarola, to see it all, to learn from our mistakes last year. This was one of our best tracks last year. Mike has had a good Booga. Can we call you Booga? Booga Rakovich.
It's okay, I did.
I'm going to say it once, but
hey, Clint, sorry to interrupt you. If you could just grab that microphone.
Yeah. The certainness. You slur it after a couple beers. That's what happens. But
hey, Clint, sorry to interrupt. If you could grab that microphone, we actually
can't
hear you.
All right, this is official. That's why I didn't want to put it on there, because I was afraid it would be official.
We need the audio, so I apologize. Yeah.
So to have his setup, Tony was always really good here. And he kind of led the charge to the short track program for Martinsville. We had a good test here with the four car last year, and Kevin's always been good here. But ever since I got in this 14 car, this was the one track that I remember last year was like, I think we could be better there, you know, with some adjustments and some good fortune in getting that track position. I think this is a track that we could win at. Fast forward to this year, you know, everything that we've learned last year, there's no question. All you guys was hard on us last year, that we learned a lot. I learned a lot about myself. And Boog and I, we fought a lot. Well, there's no question. We fought a lot. But there was no questioning the passion that either one of us had. The desire to get my old ass back in Victory Lane was there. And, you know, we had conversations over the off season, and then slowly but surely, all of a sudden you start getting confidence in one another, and you can feel it through Atlanta, a good run there. But it's hard to watch your teammates, whether it's Kevin as a driver or Rodney as a crew chief on his side. It's hard to see your counterparts have all that success and to be able to yeah, we had a good run, but it's still, you know, fuels that fire, and it can either be a detriment or a positive attraction. And for us, it just made us want to get to victory lane. And then all of a sudden this opportunity comes at Martinsville again. Unloaded a good car, unloaded four fast cars. Make no mistake, all four Stuart Haas cars have been good all year long. Kevin led that charge with three races in a row. But we've been steady Eddie with our 14 car and the things that I've always been accustomed to, consistency and things like that, are starting to see, you know, knowing our strengths, knowing our weaknesses from last year, focusing on those weaknesses. And then all of a sudden it starts clicking and putting things together, and you have those conversations, you feel confidence. You know, when Mike talks, I feel like he has confidence in me, you know, and then when I talk, somehow, for some reason, I think he's starting to have some confidence in me. So those are the positive things that start happening, and really, truly, success and results are the only one that can fix that. You know, I told this little turd right here, I mean, really, it's the one thing that I don't have. You know, I have these pictures. I don't know why. My best friend was here all week long, and I knew he was coming. I've had all these pictures. I'm just replaying all this that's happened.
You have all the time you need.
No, in my office. I have all these pictures that I've always just leaned up against a wall that you accumulate over the years. And next thing you know, it's been 12, 13 years over time. And I was like, I'm tired of it. I'm going to hang all these up. And it's the one thing that I don't do. You never think about the past, and you never focus on anything. And I didn't want to put a Victory Lane picture up on my wall, but it was like, hell, it's the only one I got, you know. And it's been leaning up against the wall at the bottom of it for, what, 6-7 years, you know, our Dirt Late Model Championship, that plaque and all those pictures from that deal was leaning up against the wall. I started to put all these things together and you know, starting to reflect on this. And the one thing that's always missing is a picture with him, you know, and that's where it changes your thought process and your reasoning for racing. A lot of people want to think about these kids as being, you know, a distraction, you know, to drivers and to athletes. Halloween athletes, we got power steering, but to drivers and things like that, you start to think about, you know, what really matters in life. And the one thing that I didn't want him to, you know, go through life as is not to know what this was all about. So to be able to have us our Victory Lane and have his number one in Victory Lane, that's pretty cool, wasn't it? But I mean, it was just something felt right about today. Our weekend, all four cars were fast. I followed Eric in practice, and I was like, man, I told Mike, I was like, that 10 car's as good as we are. No questions asked. He was really strong, wasn't catching him, you know, any way, shape, or form. And I knew that he was going to have a good race. The four car was fast. Kurt's always fast here. And then driving up here this morning, my wife and I were listening to 90s country and jamming out on that. And it was just, I don't know why, it just felt right. We even had you getting after it on 90s country, which surprised me. But and then to fast forward here to make sure that it happened at this track, I'm just telling you, this, it meant a lot to me to be able to put it all together at this track, because it's one that I feel like I've lost way more than I've ever gained here. And I wanted that damn clock. How are we going to get it home? What do you do? I'm going to ratchet strap it to the... But he drove my wife's SUV. We're going to be the Clampets with our trophy ratchet strapped to the roof of the SUV. But it's coming home. Yes!
And you forgot to mention that Kansas made the Final Four.
Yes, I saw. Bob, did you watch that? I saw you. I was following you on Twitter, and every picture Jenner posted was you watching Twitter instead of the damn game, Bob. That's sad. Come on. Every now and then, you got to let go of your job and enjoy the moment. And that's what I did last night as they won that game. He's gone. That's the attention span I have right there.
He gets it out. I got it.
All right. We're going to go upstairs real quick. Do we have any questions in the press box first?
Okay.
All right.
Hey, Clint. We got one up here.
Okay.
Clint, this is Aaron McFarling with the Roanoke Times. How close were you to having to pit under green, and how much of a relief was that caution late there?
Yeah, that was a tidbit of information that came last after that pit stop. He really, I could tell by his demeanor, he didn't want to tell me that. And I didn't want to hear it. I was like, oh, my God. I was wondering how he was going to lose this race, and that's going to be how we're going to lose it. But, man, I don't know why it just felt right. Today was going to be our day. I had that confidence going into the race, and Mike had good confidence in his strategy. He freed the car up more than I thought he was going to for the race. And you know, over the years, you start this race and you're too tight, and we're whining about too tight, and you always free up throughout this race. He made a good call before, you know, today's event and freed the car up. And I was too loose starting the race, but the track came to us. You know, our strategy came to us. And the guys, let me tell you something. We've had a little bit of trouble in pit road, you know, as we've learned this new process and things. Those guys put it all together today when the time counted. When we put them on their marks. You know, you come in leading. Those guys got a lot of pressure on them, no different than anybody else on the team, and they answered that call as good as anybody and put us out in the lead, and that's what won us the race.
All right, we're going to come back downstairs, take a couple questions. I know I had several. So, all right, we'll start with Mark. Oh, yeah, start right here. That's perfect.
Dale McFadden with NBC Sports. October 2012 is a long time ago.
That was off the record because I didn't have the mic.
The struggles, your struggles since then are well documented. In the 6 years since then, whether it was a race or a wreck or some small thing that happened in the race, what did you consider to be your low point where you thought maybe you might not?
That's all measured different, but, you know, just say, I think somebody said they in my interview, it was like 6 years is six second place finishes, and, you know, I haven't won as many races as I needed to, but I've always been consistent, and that was always put myself in position to have a shot at winning the championship at the end of the year. I finished second, had a lot of success in this sport, and being able to shine at the end of the year when the time's right for everybody involved. And over the last few years, I haven't been able to put all that together. This is a year that's starting to shape up to where I feel like I'm accustomed to. You know, way back when I was confident and that we were going to go to the end of the year and we were going to compete for a championship. I'm with an organization led by this short guy right here. The experience is there. I'm telling you, when you think about Stuart Haas Racing, the opportunity, make no mistake, Gene Haas provides this opportunity for all of us. He was the first person that called me in victory lane. You see, that man wants success on the racetrack. He uses motorsports as a platform for his business. That's something that's important to all of us, you know, as we're grasping for partnerships and everything else on these race cars. The proof's in the pudding. With this sport and any other, that F1 deal, look at them. They're starting to shine. They're starting to make a footprint in that F1 thing. And his determination and passion for motorsports is starting to bleed through even on the motor F1 platform. And I think that speaks volumes of his dedication to motorsports. And obviously on the Cup side, it's something that we all appreciate very much as we provide for our families. So Tony Stewart, being able to get out of this car, you know, and retire, giving me the opportunity of all people, he could have picked anybody. This was a you know, something that meant a lot to me, as I've learned a lot from him over the years. And even at a place like this, he texts me. It was the only bummer text that I got all day long is it was his text instead of, you know, his old grizzly bear. But, you know, grabbing me in a chokehold or something and telling me what I needed to do right. It was a text from him saying, good luck today. You know what to do. Be patient. Let the race come to you. And that's exactly what we did. And that was a formula for winning. But it was a platform that he instilled in all of us. You know, it's something that he and Zippy were very good at, being patient over the time, and won a lot of championships together. And then, you know, as you see my teammate and Kevin Harvick, everybody knows that we've been together. I mean, he's a big reason that I'm even here.
and to be able to get in victory lane and to be able to share that with Booga and everybody on this 14 team. This is a fun team. This is a family. You know, I mean, we have a group text and we make fun of each other like the old days. Like it's finally feeling right. You know what I mean? All of them, all of my team. It's fun to be able to go to work with all of them and to be able to share this win with them meant a lot to me.
All right, Mark, go ahead.
Mark Carroll, Performance Racing Network. Clint, you mentioned in your opening remarks you learned a lot about yourself last year. What have you learned about yourself throughout this? And, you know, I was talking to Martin Truex Jr., and he was coming towards victory lane, and he said, you know, I know what it's like to go through these droughts, and you just got to keep fighting and all that. What did you learn about yourself in this process, getting back
to victory
lane?
Well, last year was tough for me because here's this opportunity you've been waiting on, and you wasn't able to showcase, you know, what you thought was going to be there. But there was a lot, man. It was a lot on everybody's plate last year, and everybody worked so hard at Stuart Haas Racing. It wasn't a lack of effort on anybody's part. Particularly when you think about the 14 team, you know, obviously we were all trying as hard as we could. We finished second three times last year. We got close. We just had too many, you know, valleys in between the peaks. But then all of a sudden towards the end of the year, the four car, we all started, you just feel it. You know what I mean? We finally found our way and got on that train track and away it went. To the fast forward through the off season, you know, we were all, Zippy made some good adjustments. You know, Gibson come off the road and he's working hard and helping everybody in the shop and keeping all the cars the same. The welcomed addition of Eric, you know, coming on and driving that 10 car. I mean, just look at the results and the difference it's made. You can't look at an organization as one team and one car. You'll fail. Now you're starting to see four cars running well week in and week out in the points. Every single race, every single lap, you look over and you see the Stuart Haas cars. That's the way it needs to be successful all across the board at an organization. And that's what I see at Stuart Haas.
Do you ever have any doubts?
Hell yes. Yes, it was pretty dark for a few times. You know when. That was a year.
All right, let's come up front. If I can have a microphone up front by chance. Couple questions on the front row. Okay. Bob, Dustin, Jim, go ahead.
Dustin Long, NBC Sports. A couple questions. One for Mike is, can you explain what happened with the fuel situation, how close you guys were going to have to come in?
And, we're running out of cord.
And Clint, can you just – I know you talked about being able to have family, and that was something special. Yeah. But what did you miss with not having to have won in that period – as being a, such a competitor that you are, what is it that somebody like that misses by not winning in
He knows my attention span. If I don't answer right now, I will forget what you asked. What you miss is
that opportunity. You know, I mean, it's been a long time since I've won, and I know that. I mean, everybody that follows this sport, you guys follow this sport, and so proud of all of you guys. I mean, I never have to wonder anymore because of the power of social media or anything else, right, wrong, or indifferent. You never have to wonder what's going on in our sport, what somebody's doing, what somebody's thinking, what somebody's working on, the weather, anything. There's nothing that you guys don't cover within this sport accurately and on time. So you guys answer that call, and you remind me that I haven't won in a long time. So that is something that I've missed. I mean, it's that confidence that I don't know what it is about being in victory lane and sharing that. But that's that burden that's been haunting me for a long time. It's finally off your back, and you can finally have confidence knowing that you're a winner again.
Yeah, and to answer your question about the fuel situation, he was right. I was kind of apprehensive at how much I wanted to share it with the day we were having, but you know, in some senses you look at this track versus others, and there's definitely other places out there it could have been way more detrimental. We were about 3 gallons short roughly, and I think that you know, that puts us about 125 laps into a run. Competition's running 160 laps. I feel like if I started to pit, they were gonna kind of come with us, so we were planning to run it to the end, you know, till we were just about out of fuel and come down and pit and hope that we didn't get caught with a caution or something, but that it would pull everybody else down.
All right. Bob or Jim?
Bob Pockris, ESPN. If I told you that Kansas was going to win and go to the Final Four, that you were going to win this weekend, which would you have believed more?
How about them old Kansas boys, huh? It was a good weekend to be a Kansan. Let me tell you something. I tested my heart last night watching them. I thought they was like they just gave this away with that 7-point lead. You get cocky. My best friend's a K-Stater, and I was trying to. He was here all weekend long or all week long, and I was trying to help him cheer for the K-Staters. And then they lost. He didn't do a very good job helping me celebrate for KU, but nonetheless. The old Kansas boys won, and it was a good weekend to be a Kansan, that's for sure. I can't go to the – when is it? It's this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm. Honey, can
it's Monday. Hey, babe. I mean, this is a positive thing. Can I ride this wave of momentum and make it – it's KU. There's no sound like there's no chance that that's going to happen. I had my best friend and their two kids here for a week, 7 days, and she enlightened me that was a lot on her plate. So I'd say that, yeah, that's I'm going to be watching in my basement. But you're welcome to come, Bob. But leave your damn phone in the truck.
All right, Jim, go ahead.
Jim Utter, motorsport.com. You've talked about the pressure a lot. Which was worse, the not winning in 190 races, or
God,
not, or,
really?
Yeah.
Did you have to say that?
Sorry. Or not winning.
This is my boss. Yeah. You know what I mean?
He knows. or
it
not,
resets.
Can't use that anymore.
Or not winning once you got in this particular car.
Yeah, that's the one that really matters to me. Is finally got lined back up with. You know, not only race winning, a race winning team and a race winning organization, but a championship winning team and a championship winning organization. That's where the frustration, you know, started to set in, and the worry, man. That's when you start panicking. And I'm not going to lie. And I mean, that's everybody knows. You know, last year that was a lot of panic on my behalf, on Mike's behalf, everybody's behalf. I mean. We're expected to perform. We've got this opportunity, and we just couldn't, you know, put it all together. I'm telling you, this year, it's racing's fun again. I wish I could show you my text message to Tony Stewart this morning. He told me and all the things that you know that I needed to do, and he knows my demeanor and everything else. The normal Tony Stewart text to me, and I told him, I'm like, don't worry about it. This SHIT is fun again, and that's what I told him. You know what I mean? And our cars are good. All four cars are good, and you're going to have a good shot at winning this race today and having a grandfather clock. But that one is coming to my house.
All right, we'll go one more question up here, and then we're going to go back upstairs. Go ahead,
John Haverland with ESPN Albuquerque. So obviously, you're going to probably. Party the night away and have a good.
I was thinking about going to bed.
That
is a lie.
You got the off weekend coming up.
I'm going to the hospital. That would be a safer measure for me right now. Yeah. Jump in whatever ambulance is still here and tell them to ask, just beg them to take me to the hospital.
Okay, well, when that's all over, when do you put your head back down and like go to work? Like, okay, I got the win, but like this isn't enough. I need to keep pushing. How soon will that set in for you, do you think?
Thank God there's an off weekend. That's exactly a good point. Do we have to go to Texas? That's the thing is somehow, some way we got to get wrangled back up and go to Texas. There's not a whole lot. I mean, we can win there, but, you know, we got to start focusing on, hey, we're in the chase. It's been a long time. We're in the chase. We're in, and not to mention, it's fun. I'm not lying what I text Tony Stewart, this is good times. This is fun to be in this equipment. It's fun to be alongside our teammates. I appreciate this opportunity more than it's hard to say. You know what I mean? Everybody knows me, that knows that I have fun and run my mouth and goofy and everything else. But I do appreciate this opportunity and appreciate the army of people that make this possible for all of us.
All right, we're going to go back upstairs to the press box, and then we'll come right back downstairs. Questions?
Congratulations, gentlemen. I've got a question for Mike and Clint. Clint, what made you think of Lakeside?
Nothing for you. What did she say?
Zippy needs a question, by the way. Just coming. All right. What did she ask?
What made you think of Lakeside? I know you're talking about your brother on the backstretch.
I'm telling you, off of turn four at Lakeside Speedway, it was always that way. I mean, he's a large kid. That big kid was always the one that would move everybody out of the way, and you come off of turn four and you look up and you'd see your brother telling you there was a good gap or it was close or run the bottom, run the top. I mean, you didn't have Brett Griffin, your eye in the sky and everything. You had your brother that was fortunately way bigger than everybody else. You didn't even have to worry about putting him in like bright orange or anything. It didn't matter what color he was in. You could pick him out of the crowd and he'd be telling you what it was. And I'm not lying, like going down the back straightaway, he's always been usually back there in front of my bus, and it's somebody that you can see, and it's just that calming thing and whatever. It was it was like I thought of Lakeside as soon as I saw him.
And is this the best feeling you've had since you and Patty back in 2012?
Well, since she said, well, since that little boy came along, how about that?
There you go.
Yeah.
And
Boga, pretty good feeling.
Boyer was eerily quiet on the radio today. Is that kind of how you knew he had a great car? Because he wasn't, he wasn't talking about anything. He was just kind of focused.
I was busy, damn it.
I'm just saying.
That's Kyle Busch in your mirror. I mean, that car presents pretty big in the rearview mirror. And it's a hard one to keep in the rearview mirror. Yes. I even got a little cotton mouth that last run. I needed a drink of water, and I wasn't even going to let off the steering wheel to get that. But just knew that the opportunity was right, and it was in my hands, and I needed to do my job. And Mike gave me that opportunity, and all the guys, the pit crew guys and everybody else. It was in my hands to go out there and get the job done. And Brett helped me manage that last run as good as you could ask. I mean, he's more than just a spotter. He knew that. I mean, you could see it. As soon as he said it, I saw it in the mirror. You could see the 18 finally quit pushing and back off, try to save his stuff for the end of that run. And Brett picked it up, helped me back up my run a little bit, and save my tires, not just push that throttle through the floorboard up off the corners and not lean on the wheel too hard, all the things that it takes, not push the brakes too hard, be easy on your stuff and try to save them, because you knew Kyle was doing that same thing behind you, and he'd make a run at you, and we tried to pick it up a little bit and was able to match his runs, and that's when I knew we had him without something crazy happening. Then you see I don't know who it was. It was smoking on fire, whatever else. I thank God they pulled in. I did not want to have to deal with a restart.
Any additional questions upstairs?
She had a question for you, somebody else. Zippy's here all night if you guys would like to ask him anything.
All right. We're going to take our final question from Kelly. Go ahead, Kelly.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Clint, two things. First, you mentioned, dark days and confidence and whatnot. What
wasn't too dark. I mean, there's been a lot of good things happening in my life.
Right, but when you go through when you go through the struggles and you go through the down times and not winning, what keeps you coming back? Why not just throw your hands up and say, why am I doing this?
Well, I love this sport, and everybody knows me, there's one thing that I hope everybody knows is how much I do love this sport and love the opportunity. I love people. I love coming to the truck every week. I love, it's always been a big thing to me, having that damn thing parked up front. You want that, the parking stall, that's what I hated when they moved to team stalls and everything else. That was a big thing to me. When you're parked up front, you're part of, you're with the men and not with the boys. And I've been with the boys a few times, but there's a lot of pride in being up there with the men and racing up front. But it's the competition. But more than that, it's being able to get out and have an opportunity to have your nerves run through the roof, cotton mat, everything I was telling you, I'm telling you, your legs shaking and everything else would tend to go. I mean, it's been a long time since I felt, that anxiety, that much emotion. And then, to cap it all off, I look over after the front straightaway and here comes my kid running down the front straightaway. And I was like, oh, I lost it then. I'm not going to lie. That was the one that that capped it all off for me. But that's why you keep doing it, because it is fun, because we're very fortunate to be a part of a wonderful thing. And we all know that. You guys, you know, write about this more than anybody. We all live this together, traveling across the country, and it's we're all fortunate to be a part of it. The sponsors and everything that's behind us, Rusty, I mean, they're not just sponsors anymore. They're partners. You know them. They're a conversation. They're an invite to their houses, no different than it is back the following way. I mean, Rusty, Rush Truck Centers, I mean, he was on the phone with me. We've all been to Rusty's house. We've hung out with him. We've enjoyed him. To be able to have those partners and those relationships still to this day, I can't wait to get to my phone. Think, you know, speaking of relationships, I mean, I guarantee you that's the neatest thing about motorsports and everything and part of it is you. When I get to that phone, it'll be people from Richard Childers that gave me this opportunity to Michael Waltrip that gave me an opportunity in 2012. To fast forward to Tony Stewart, the people that are giving me this opportunity today, and these guys that I'll be able to share this stage with. I mean, those are the cool things that you'll remember forever.
And finally, you had beer in Victory Lane, you grabbed your kids, you went up in the grandstands and sprayed champagne. You jumped on the roof. Did you get everything out that you wanted to get out that was bottled
up? Hell no. It ain't even
so
dark yet.
The rest of the night,
but I will say, Harvick's beers, there's no way his little skinny ass can. These are stovepipes. You can't just – the lady right there, she's like, will you chug that for NASCAR.com? It's a damn stovepipe. I've been drinking a long time. Ain't nobody can chug a stovepipe and give an interview afterwards.
All right. Thank you, guys. Congratulations again.